You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Friday's edition of the podcast where we're building up to the second day of the July Festival from Newmarket. Two fillies group races on the card, including the Duchy of Cambridge Stakes, that's a Group 2, and the Group 1 Falmouth Stakes as well. It's good racing at York as well, and Ascot in the afternoon with Chepstow, Chester, Cork and Navan in the evening. You'll hear it all live from 1:35 PM on Racing Radio with Gary Capewell, Rory Delaghi and James Millman. But before all that, my name is Sam Norris, and the man joining me in the studio today is John Budden. How are you today, Your Lordship?
I'm pretty well, Sam, and looking forward to the Newmarket July meeting and indeed to York on Saturday.
Yeah, cracking stuff on Friday, isn't it? As a whole, the July meeting, where does it rank for you on your favourite festivals of the year?
Well, it's probably about number four, I should imagine, Sam. But I mean, it is always exciting. It's like tremendous racing. I love the July Cup and the Bunbury Cup and so on. And, top-class horses, top-class jockeys, a top-class race course. You can't get much better. But, I'm dyed in the wool, and I regret to say, a bit like the Welsh wizard, that the names of Cheltenham and Aintree would probably come a little bit higher in festival list.
Yep, fair enough. Before we get on to some of the action from Newmarket, we'll take a spin through the racing news as we always do. A little bit thin on the news front, John. The Racing Post go with a big flying spread of Frankie Dettori, 30 years to the day since he arrived in Newmarket. He's almost made history ever since, John. I suppose he is news at the moment, isn't he, in red-hot form?
Well, he really is news, yes, Sam. We seem to have discussed him in the studio ad infinitum this summer, but not surprisingly, because, he's 44, coming 45, and there's been a tremendous rejuvenation, rehabilitation, and all the RE words this summer, and he's been riding absolutely brilliantly. And, of course, he's back on really good horses, and he's back with John Gosden, and the world looks, really blue sky for Frankie all the way. And it's 30 years. It's quite remarkable, isn't it, how the time has gone. And I think he was honoured in Newmarket yesterday with a special plaque putting him into the legends of Newmarket, and quite rightly so. I mean, he's a tremendous character and a very, very good rider. And he's at the top of his form at the moment, so well done to Frankie. And, on that subject, Golden Horn looks to me to be a tremendous horse. I thought that his win in the Eclipse was quite brilliant. Frankie showed there, you see, what a tremendous jockey he is, because complete change of tactics from the Derby to the Eclipse, in the Derby holding up and then producing a tremendous burst of speed, in the Eclipse making all the running, judging the fractions as he does so well. Just on that point, or 2 points on the Eclipse, I thought the Grey Gatsby ran a marvellous race, and I do hope he wins a really good race before the end of the season for Kevin Ryan. And altogether, the question is what to do with Golden Horn. I think probably connections need to be trusted on this. I feel that they don't want to go to the well too often. Obviously, the Ark is very high on their list of possibilities, and it would be marvellous were Golden Horn to end the season with a victory at Longchamp and then retire to stud. I think it's correct to actually retire him to stud, because, he's on a peak. He can only go downwards, and one can see a sensible decision by connections to send him to stud at the end of the season.
Yeah, it seems fair enough that they're not going to race him again at four. Just go back to Frankie quickly a sec, John. What do you make of his style? He's very, very flamboyant, and he's almost the polar opposite of Ryan Moore, isn't he? Who's a lot more reserved, and I mean, some would say too reserved, and some would say Frankie's too flamboyant. Which side do you land on?
Well, I suppose, like all sort of sensible people, a foot on both sides of the wall, as you might say. But I think that Ryan's a sort of shyness and apparent dislike to get involved too much with the media is exaggerated, actually. And a very interesting talking to James Millman in the studio when I was with him last time out, and he pointed out that Ryan was terrific value in the weighing room.
Oh, really?
And completely different from what the world would like to describe him as a shy, retiring man, refusing to speak. He's always smiling, always full of jokes. So that's Ryan. As far as Frank is concerned, I think the charismatic side of him is tremendously good for racing. I just wish he would slightly cut out the kissing of the camera.
Yeah.
I do find, you know, just a little bit over the top.
Yeah. But, I mean, not just racing. Every sport needs characters, doesn't it, John? And, you know, it is nice for people, maybe outside racing as well, to see the flying dismounts and the sort of things that he does like that.
I think his charismatic behaviour is tremendous for racing. And it was great to see him, for example, at Silverstone over the weekend at the Formula One on the podium. Mm. You know, he was getting a lot of publicity, not just for himself, but for racing as a whole. To be connected with Formula One, that was yet another sort of ambassadorial role that he fills so well. So, goodness me, I wouldn't write him down at all.
Very true. Yes, and hopefully he can continue in the rich vein of form he's having. Because I think the July Cup's one of the few Group Ones that actually elude him. I mean, we won't talk too much on it. Obviously, discuss that on tomorrow's podcast. But I think I'm right in thinking that's a Group One and he hasn't landed.
Yes, and my stat world is very poor, Sam. But yes, it's quite likely, and he's in such good form that he could easily win a series of races at Newmarket over the July meeting.
Yeah. Certainly, we'll look forward to seeing Frankie again. Then, just before we get stuck into the second day of the July meeting, you were in the studio yesterday for us, John, on Racing Radio. Any performances caught the eye?
Well, yes. We're talking about jockeys and Frankie. Very sad that Connor Beasley has had that awful fall and fractured his skull. It just highlights the dangers of flat race jockeys' falls as much as jump jockeys. And on the flat, of course, they fall very much more quickly. And so let's hope Connor Beasley comes back very shortly. But yesterday, we saw a jockey who could perhaps, take advantage of not just of Connor Beasley, his fall, but of openings, and that is Fergal Lynch. Now, Fergal Lynch rode a double at Catterick yesterday, and he just showed what a really good jockey he is. And as I said in the studio at the time, it's most interesting to see that trainers all over the north are now, you know, booking Fergal because they realise what a good jockey he is. Two examples at Catterick. He was riding a wayward two-year-old called Total Power in the opening race, and Total Power had showed his quirkiness at Musselburgh, where he dwelt at the start, looked to have no chance, and then suddenly took hold of the bit and went whoosh and didn't quite get up in the closing stages in a cellar at Musselburgh. He was the outsider of the small field at Catterick, and he didn't look as though he was going to take a hand in the finish at all. But Fergal kept him balanced, kept him running, and then at a crucial moment, he moved his whip hand with tremendous dexterity from the right to the left to just prevent Total Power from hanging in and to keep straight. And with great power in the finish, he got up to win in the closing strides. I thought it was a fine example of race riding by Fergal there. And then he completed a double later on. He's really rattling in the winners. And he and Sylvester D'Souza, I think, are the two jockeys to watch, actually, apart from those at the very top.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I'm a big fan of SDS as well, John. We'll move on then to take a look at some of the action from Newmarket on Friday. It's the second day of their July meeting. And we'll start with the 210, the first race on the card. This one's a Phillies Handicap, Class 2 event. 7 furlongs is the trip for this one. Who did you like, John?
Well, it looks wide open, Sam. I have to mention N Lace, the Mark Johnston filly, because ran only ninth last time out. Looks looks to have no chance, but this is a filly who, you know, is hit and miss, and when she's really on form, she can win really decent races, so I wouldn't neglect her completely. The two that I thought ought to dominate this race are Angel's Vision to begin with, Sir Michael Stout's filly. I think that Sir Michael is coming into a rich vein of form just at the moment, and of course he's got Ryan Moore in the saddle, and Ryan Moore is very much in a rich vein of form. But I liked Angel Vision's win last time out at Newmarket. Beat Spirit Radar in very good style, and she could easily win this race. But I'm going to go for Godolphin in this particular contest, and William Buick, and they're on that unbeaten filly, who I thought ran extremely well both times. And Wordcraft is the name of this particular filly. Won a Newmarket maiden in good style, and was even more impressive, Sam, when winning at Kempton, beating some useful horses there. Could be potentially really very good. So, Wordcraft.
Right, the next race then on the card from Newmarket is the 240. This one is the Duchess of Cambridge Stakes. It's a fillies group two over 6 furlongs. 9 of them take their chance for it, and quite a few here that we saw at Royal Ascot, the likes of Bashara and Illuminate. And the one I particularly wanted to start on, John, was Eastern Angel, who was, if it wasn't for that huge beast of a Wesley Ward 2-year-old in Acapulco, really would have taken that race.
Yes, would have won the Queen Mary. Very disappointing, really, for Michael Dodds, because what with the ground being too fast for Mecca's Angel, and then just to get done in the Queen Mary by this enormous giant Acropolis, who, you know,
almost a 4-year-old colt, or
look that size, didn't it? And dwarfed the field. And Eastern Angel did extremely well and finished excellently to be second in that Queen Mary. And she must have a big chance in this race, the Duchess of Cambridge at Newmarket. You know, I'd love to see Michael Dodds win it. But I have to say, Sam, I'm slightly in favour of Illuminate. I was in favour of Illuminate at Royal Ascot, and I thought she won the Albany in very good style from a useful sort from Kevin Ryan's stable, Ashradan, who had a really considerable reputation at home. Illuminate took up the running quite a bit out, but she stayed on really well, and I thought she got a bit of class and might show too much toe for Eastern Angel. The question mark horse is Blue Bayou. Brian Meehan and that man Ryan Moore again beat Basmar in pretty impressive style at Haydock, and, you know, could be anything. But I'm going to go for Illuminate.
OK, then Illuminate for John for the Hannon Hughes team in the 240. That's the Duchess of Cambridge. At 3:15, then we've got more group action. This is the feature race of the day on the second day of the July meeting. It's the Falmouth Stakes. The Fillies group won this one over a mile. 9 of them line up for it, and there's some interesting form lines going into it, John.
There certainly are, and, you know, it would be good for Lucida eventually to get a decent win. I mean, she was only just beaten in the 1,000 guineas at Newmarket, 3/4 of a length, possibly went to the front just a tiny bit too early. And then in the coronation at Ascot, again, was finishing extremely well. A very close finish, of course, and the French 1,000 guineas, Evede, had just got up under a great ride by Christophe Soumillon. But Lucida was back in third place, very, very much staying on at the close. It would be nice to see her actually make it sort of third time lucky. But she's facing quite a number of difficult opponents. Two from France. We've got Fintry is the one I like, the Alex Andre Farm filly, and Fintry ran extremely well in a group race, a valuable group race, at Chanty, just getting the better of Avenir Certain, who's in this contest again. But I'm going to go for the winner of last year in this contest, and that is Integral. Sir Michael Stout, I think, is coming very much into form, targeting this race particularly with a filly who has run twice this season and seemingly disappointingly, but wasn't all that beaten all that far at Royal Ascot and ran extremely well in the Lock-In Stakes. I think Integral has been targeted at this race and will be my selection to win it for the second year in succession.
Okay, John then taking Integral to retain his crown in the 3:15. We'll go to 3:45 then. This one is a handicap over 6 furlongs. 20 of them line up for this class 2. Take your pick, John.
Well, the key to this race is undoubtedly the three-year-old sprint at York's June meeting, which was won by Twilight Sun, Henry Candy and Fergus Sweeney. Horses running in this contest at Newmarket were lining up behind. For example, in third place, we have Magical Moment, who is the current favourite for this particular contest. Squats was back in fifth place. And it's a race that I think will follow that particular pattern. I really much like the chances of Magic Memory. I think it'll hold the second horse, I didn't mention a moment ago, Grandad's World. Grandad's World is Richard Fahey and Richard Hughes. Interesting. When Richard Hughes rides for Richard Fahey, the strike rate is often very good. But I tend to think that Magical Memory can improve a bit on that York run and reverse the placings and score here. Squats is also in the contest, finished fifth for William Haggas, but for me it's between those who finished second and third, and I'm going to go for it the other way round. Navigate would be my possible outsider. Martin Mead, you know, his horses continue to run really well. Navigate was beaten at Haydock last time out, but had run well before, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Navigate go very well, but I'm going to go for Magical Memory.
Okay, Magical Memory then in that 3:45. Just remind us, please, then, John, of your selections for day two of the July Festival from Newmarket.
Yes, well, we're going to start off with the finish race at 2:10. And the chances there were for Wordcraft to score. I'm with Illuminate in the next contest, the 2:40. The 3:15, the Falmouth, I hope Integral will win it for the second time in a row. And in the 3:45, Magical Moment.
OK, thank you very much, John. Enjoy the meeting as well on the second day.
Thank you very much, Sam. I will.
And remember, you can hear every race live from the second day at Newmarket, their July Festival, from 1:35pm on Friday afternoon with Gary Capewell, Rory Delaghi and James Millman. They'll also bring you the cards from York and Ascot in the afternoon, Chepstow, Chester, Cork and Navan in the evening. You've been listening to William Hill's Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.